Today we're going to be discussing warfare. On Tuesday, I discussed a little bit about warfare, and I showed some images of warfare over the millennia. And I showed, the first picture I showed was some cavemen fighting. And what was their weapons? Who was here Tuesday night? Okay, what were their weapons? Spears, right? Now, the interesting thing, the point I was trying to make is, what was it that both of them had? Spears. They both had the same kind of weapon. Then I showed a picture of the American War of Independence, as the British call it, or the American Revolution, as the Americans call it. And I showed the two armies fighting. What were their weapons? Guns. Or muskets, right? That's what they use in those days. And what was interesting, the point I was trying to make was, they both had the same type of weapon, right? They both had muskets. Then I moved to World War I, where a new weapon was used, and I showed a tank battle. And the point was, again, both sides had the same type of weapon. And we went on to World War II, and I showed an air battle. And again, they were using weapons, but it was the same type of weapon. And the point I was making was that we're in a battle, and what most people don't understand is Satan is fighting us with the same type of weapon, which was the Word. Of course, it's his Word against God's Word. Okay. Revelation 12:7, and this was the verse that sparked my meditation on this. It says, there was war in heaven. And I was thinking, how can the devil fight God or even fight his angels? It says, there is war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Ephesians 6:12 tells us, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Amen. And I think that even means deeper than what we think. When we read that scripture, we immediately think about persons, right? That we're not fighting persons. But it also means, truly, that we shouldn't be fighting ourselves. Our flesh. Because the flesh by itself will always win. But truly, what we're wrestling is principalities and against powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And I put, this means war, your song, Sister Johnny, this means war. And I want to bring out some things in this lesson. We will get deeper into it in the lessons to come, but this will be kind of the introduction on this point. I want to let you know who we're fighting against. It lists certain things, and they operate, it says, the darkness of this world against spiritual wickedness in high places. And I'm going to come back to that word, spiritual wickedness, because it's almost a hatred. If you I was reading some commentaries, and when it came to that word, they said it was like a malice, malign. It's almost like a prejudice, you know, when people hate you but for no really good reason. They just hate you. You cannot be rational. There's no negotiation with that. You know what I was thinking when I was reading that was, there was a movie called Independence Day a few years ago. And in the movie, the president was trying to negotiate with the aliens. And he said, can't we make a deal? Can't we? What do you want? And the answer was that you die. That's all they wanted. Do you understand that's exactly what they have? A hatred that is unrational. You can't negotiate with the devil. You cannot. If you think you are, you're going to end up losing. You really are. And so when it speaks about spiritual wickedness, we're going to look at that in high places. It goes on to say in Corinthians, for our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. This is the Holman translation. Forces of evil in the heavens. It's the same scripture, but in a different translation. Again, I give you a third translation because this is so important that we understand what it is we're really up against. For we're not fighting against people made of flesh and blood. You may think so, but you're not. And I'm going to show you that. But against persons or beings without bodies, the evil rulers of the unseen world, those mighty satanic beings and great evil princes of darkness who rule the world, and against huge numbers of wicked spirits in the spirit world. They go around in gangs. Did you know that? They'll go around in gangs. That's why you'll have one thing happen, then another. Because they're cowards, really, and so they'll want to outnumber you all the time. You're fighting sometimes the demonic gangs, not one spirit, but several. And they are so clever. Amen. That translation was the Living Bible. I read it again. For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against persons or beings without bodies, the evil rulers of the unseen world, those mighty satanic beings and great evil princes of darkness who rule this world, and against huge numbers of wicked spirits in the spirit world. And that's the Living Bible translation. Now, I want to talk about kingdoms. Now, I've taught about kingdoms before. I haven't really talked too much about Satan's kingdom, but we have to have some understanding of it if we're going to fight it. And it speaks about the kingdom of darkness. Now, the proof that Satan has a kingdom, if you didn't believe that before, is that Jesus mentioned it. In Matthew 12, 26, when the Pharisees were accusing him of casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub, the Lord of the demons, this is what he said. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom? You see that? Jesus spoke about Satan having a kingdom stand. Now, the reason why Satan is so effective is the reason why we are not. His kingdom is not divided. Let me say that again. His kingdom is not divided. Jesus made that point. If his kingdom was divided, it couldn't stand. The reason why we don't have a lot of success is many times we are divided. Let me give you a scripture that I wasn't going to use this week, but it says, if two or three, what's the word? Agree. Then nothing. You need to find someone to agree with you on whatever you're praying about. My parents did that all the time. I know they walked by this church when they were looking for a building, and they both pointed at it and agreed. If two or three agree, there's a power that is beyond just one. Satan's kingdom is not divided, and that's why he's so effective. The demons don't fight each other. They're in agreement. You know why? Because they hate you. Problem with us is we hate each other, and we can't get into agreement, and so our power is weakened. Jesus said his kingdom could not stand if it was divided. And so that proves to you his kingdom is not divided. That's why Jesus kept on teaching us to be one. Be one. Be one. Be one. If you are praying about something by yourself, you need to find someone else and say, will you agree with me? Because that's the word. That's the word. Find someone and say, will you agree with me? You know, sorry to call your name, Sister Deborah, but you put this into practice. I know when you have issues, you always bring it to me and you say, Pastor, will you pray with me? You don't have to come to me, but find someone. Because the scripture says, if two or three agree, then nothing. See, that's the condition. You have to agree. You have to agree. That's why I believe God instituted marriage. Because there's at least two then. And when they become one and in agreement, that's powerful. That's powerful. But you don't have to be married. You just have to be in agreement, unified with the body of Christ. Amen. And a lot of times we are not. And that's why we don't have success. Okay, getting back to the lesson, it speaks about his kingdom. So Satan definitely has a kingdom. The Bible in Revelation speaks about the star that fell from heaven, and he opened the key to the abyss, and there arose they had a king over them, whose name is, in the Hebrew tongue, Abaddon, in the Greek, Apollyon, both meaning destruction. That's who we are fighting. Destruction. Chaos. Wicked spirits who would like to see you fall, to like to see you finished. Amen. Colossians 1:13 says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness. The kingdom that we're talking about is a kingdom of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. See, there is another kingdom. There's the kingdom of darkness, and then there's the kingdom of the son. And you're going to be in one or either. You know, when sunrise happens, there's only two places. You're either in the shadow or you're in the light. You can't actually stay on the edge. It just doesn't work. You're either in the shadow or the dark, or you're in the light. The Bible says to walk as children of the light. Amen. So I want to go in detail. We've talked about his kingdom, but his kingdom is organized. He's got it together. He's got it organized. It says against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Paul there was describing a hierarchy, an order of rulership. They have it divided and marked out and demarcated, and who's in charge of this area and that area. And once you have to understand that, if you're going to be in spiritual warfare, one of the worst things an army can do is to walk into a battle not knowing the intelligence, not knowing what they're facing. And many of us do that. In fact, we don't even have a clue. And then we're surprised when stuff happens. We don't have a clue of the nature of the enemy and what it is we're facing. And I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to me. Sometimes I get so happy in myself, I don't realize, I forget. And God has to let the protection, the crack of protection open a little bit, and then I go, oh yes, I'm in a war. I forgot about that. He has to take the hedge of protection just a little bit, and then I go, ow, okay, I got to pray. I got to start seeking God. I got to fast. Sometimes we forget about the intelligence that we have been given. So we're going to study some of that we are in warfare. So let's look at that. Who are we fighting? Well, of course, we're fighting Satan. And of course, we've read this scripture many times, which gives his origins and definition, Ezekiel 28:14. Thou art the anointed cherub. He was created by God. And God can only do good. Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow. But the Bible speaks about him. He was perfect until iniquity was found in him. I have set thee so thou wast upon the holy mountain of God and hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. He was in God's presence. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. There are things that can corrupt our light. Sometimes it's our lust. Sometimes it's our ambition. Sometimes it's just our lack of diligence. Sometimes it can be pride. We think in Satan's case that what it was, he looked and saw how wonderful he was, how marvelous he was, and said, you know, I should be like the Most High. Sometimes we can let certain things corrupt the brightness that God has given us. Amen. So we are fighting principally this being that thought he was like God. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. David, when he was confronted with his sin, he said, purge me with hyssop. That's got to be our daily prayer. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. because this flesh wants to do stuff. But we have to look unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. What was his power? What was Satan's power? Well, ultimately, his power, the Bible says, was death. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, this is speaking of Jesus Christ, he also himself likewise took part of the same. He had to come in human form, that through death, through his death, through him becoming the sin offering, he might destroy him that had the power of death. That's Satan's ultimate goal, to destroy your body and then your soul. That's his ultimate aim. And that was his ultimate power. And so we see that Jesus came to take away that power over death, but only to those who receive him. So Satan has lost power to them that believe. He doesn't have the power of death over you anymore. The Bible says we are passed from death unto life. I am not going to die. I'm only going to be changed. If I go before the rapture, I hope you rejoice at my funeral. Because I am going to be with Jesus. I will be done with this mess. I'll be done with dealing with the evil spirits, the forces of the enemy. I hope, I'm not looking to die, but if I do, I hope you just have a blowout rejoicing service and are happy for me. My wife is not so happy. Amen. Are happy for me. Amen. Because we are facing all kinds of enemies right now. Let me put this in. We lost our power here. But that's what I hope. I didn't really cry too much at my father's funeral. I cried before. But you know what? He had fought a good fight. He had kept the faith. And I know that there was laid up for him a crown of righteousness. Amen. I did not cry much at this. I cried a lot before he passed. You know, I did like David. David cried for his child who was sick. But once the child died, he went to church and worshiped. He went to church and worshiped. And that is what God wants us to do. Amen. So right now we had a little technical problem, but I'm not going to let that faze me. Amen. It's coming back on, I believe. Amen. All right, it's coming back on. We lost our power. But you see, the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his only goal. That's his only aim, is to take away what God has given us. Amen. I don't know if someone is turning the breaker on downstairs. That is off as well. Did the projector go off? Okay. Let me see what's happening here. Amen. Well, we're going to continue whether that works or not. Amen. What I want you to know is this, and I'm going to bring it up on my phone if I have to. What I want you to know is this, that God is still in control. No matter what Satan wants to do, God is still in control. If that's still on, then it must be this plug then here. I'm going to bring it up on my phone, and we will continue. There's always a backup plan. Amen. So, as I said, if you come to my funeral, if you get to come, please rejoice. Please rejoice, because I know where I'm going. Amen. I know where I'm going. I'm not going to be sad for someone who is a Christian who has fulfilled God's plan. Amen. I'm not going to be looking all weary and worn of someone who God has blessed with taking them home. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. Amen. And if I'm present with Christ, there is no better thing. Amen. There is no better thing. So I'm looking to be present with God if something were to happen. Amen. Well, it's coming back on here, so I will... wonder if you can present it on the screen. There we go. All this means is I need to get a new laptop. There we go. It's coming back on now. And if Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself. There we go. Okay. That is the devil. Okay. For as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same through death, that he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Satan didn't want this lesson taught, but that's not going to happen. Amen. If you could go to the next part. Amen. So what is his power now? I said that he has no power of death over you if you're filled with the Spirit and born of the water. So what is his power now? And this is what I taught Tuesday. His only power now, if you could go to the next, is deception. He had no power over Adam and Eve except deception. He only has words to destroy and to bring fear. John 8:44, Jesus made this clear. And in fact, last week, Christopher preached upon this scripture about that you are of your father, the devil, because the only words he has for children of God is lies and deception. And that's why Jesus said in the last days there would be coming a strong delusion. Strong delusion. That's why you have to be careful what you take in, what you listen to, what you read on Facebook. Because people do not seem to be able to discriminate lies from truth anymore. They call good evil and evil good. That's amazing. I'm shocked, really. But, you know, I shouldn't be, because this is what the Bible predicts. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. So his only power over you is if he can speak to you and tell you something that is not true. And then if you listen to him. Shall I tell you? I'm going to tell you a revelation. The fruit, the eating of the tree of knowledge and good and evil was actually taking, was really listening to Satan's words. That's what eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is, was listening to Satan's words. Tuesday night, I will go into that in more detail, but that's really what it is. And the reason, the proof of that is, of course, is what God said when he came. He didn't say, if you ate the fruit. He said, who hath told you this? Who did you listen to? Who are you listening to? Because the only power Satan has over a child of God is words. And you know how he speaks words? Well, it's got to come through someone. Unless you're hearing voices directly, it's coming through someone. Words of discouragement? Well, you know what, how that works. And he uses, the Bible says, the children of disobedience. You know, when Jesus resurrected, in Matthew, I think, 20, he says, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. All right? That's what he said. So how much power does that leave the devil? None. Not to children of God. You see, you have to receive Jesus to have that power. He still has power over those children of disobedience because God gave mankind dominion. Now, you can either be in the light or in the darkness. If you're in the darkness, what it means is you have given your authority, whether you know it or not, to Satan. You have given your authority to Satan. You know what he's going to do with that authority? He's going to use it. That's why the Bible says, who now, you see how it says, who now worketh. That tells you there was a change in how he worked. Before Jesus died, he didn't need people. He had authority because Adam had sinned. But after Jesus died, he can only work now, because Jesus has taken all power, through people who will give him back their power. The children of disobedience, and there's a lot of them. In fact, everyone who is not in the light must be, by definition, in the darkness. Amen. Next screen. So he's the prince of the power of the air. Now, we know that the Bible speaks about the third heaven. And so if you have a third heaven, that means you must, by logic, also have a second and a first. You don't have a third heaven by itself. 2 Corinthians 12:2, Paul, speaking about a vision, he says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. But he, such a one, was caught up to the third heaven. Now, when he was speaking to people who understood what he was talking about. So we, not being in that time and age, have to try and work out from Scripture what he was meaning. And it is quite clear that if you read the rest of it, he's speaking about the throne room of God. So the third heaven is the dwelling place, the throne room of God. So we can mark that down. So now the first heaven must be what we see. The Bible in the Old Testament tells us that there's more than one heaven. Read that scripture very carefully, and you'll see that there is one earth, but there is plural heavens. Do you see that? It says, thus the heavens. This is in Genesis when God created. He said, thus the heavens and the earth, one earth, was finished. That tells us that there are more than one heaven. And all that means in the Hebrew, Shamayim, it means the cosmos, or the it doesn't, when we say heaven, people automatically think of God. That doesn't mean that, because we see that there is a distinction in how the Bible speaks about the third heaven in the Old Testament. So, but we see from that thing there that the Bible tells us that there were heavens created, but only one earth. Now, the scripture that I'm quoting from there, if you could go to the next verse, it speaks about Satan as the prince of the power of the air. So heaven is what we see. Let's read Matthew 24:29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be dark, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven. So when it speaks about just heaven without an S, it's speaking about the place where there's the stars, the moon, and the things we can see. When it says heavens, it's the spiritual realm which we cannot see. Matthew 24:29, the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. So the heavens is the dwelling place of spirits, because it says the powers of the heavens. So when it speaks about him being the prince of the power of the air, it's speaking about his main place of dwelling. Now, you may say, well, isn't he in hell? No. He's been able to avoid that so far. Now, there are spirits that are locked up in hell. There are angels that are locked up. But Satan, so far, for God's purposes, has not been locked up yet. Yet. And so his dwelling place, though the Bible does not explicitly say so, except for Matthew 24:29, it says the powers of the heavens, speaking of spirits. So there we have the three heavens. The heaven without an S is what we can see. The heavens where the powers are is the second heaven, and the third heaven is God's dwelling place. And we can get all of that just from Scripture. Look at Psalms 115:16. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, speaking about all of the realms. But the earth, singular, hath he given to the children of men. In Nehemiah 9:6, it says, Thou art Lord alone. Thou hast made the heaven, what we see, the heaven of heavens, where the hosts are, where the spirits are, where the angels are. Do you see that? So the Bible clearly tells us that there are heaven, what we see, heavens, where the powers and spirits and angels are. And then Paul explains there is a third heaven, which is the dwelling place of God and where the righteous angels are. So now we understand the setup of the kingdom. We know who we are fighting. Could go to the next slide. Let's go back to what his title is, Prince of the Power of the Air. He was caught up to the third heaven. Next scripture. Thus the heavens were finished and all the host of them, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit, this is what I said, that now works in the children of disobedience. That's the only way he can do stuff now, is either through deception to a child of God or to someone who is giving him their dominion, consciously or unconsciously. You know, if you were to look at the sunrise and on a mountain, you can see a shadow. And you can see the shadow moves as the sun rises. And you're either in the light or you're in the darkness. You can't stay on that line because the sun is moving. You're either in shadow or you're in darkness. So this is how Satan works. People are being manipulated because they're children of disobedience. Sister Johnny.
Okay. Now, the devil, he can deceive you, but he can't take away your spirit.
Because
your spirit is sealed.
Absolutely.
So even though he can mess with you, with your fleshly part of you, he cannot take your life. He cannot do anything to harm your spirit because it's sealed by God. But
amen.
I'm just saying that the things that he can do to you is to control the fleshly part of you.
Absolutely.
And then if you're under control by him, by that part, then that might causes you to lack in reading the word of God. And then that what would causes your spirit to kind of like be down.
You're absolutely right. What will happen is you will not have much power. You won't be able to effectively pray because you're not really strong. You understand? And that's why a lot of times when we pray, it's not effective because we're not in the best strength. We're not prayed up. We've been listening to Satan. We're depressed. And when you're depressed, you don't feel like even coming to church. You don't worship. He is taking away all your weapons. He is disarming you. Now, he may not be able to kill you, but you're not much good on the battlefield. You're not much good for anything, right? Because he has taken away all your weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. In the lessons to come, we're going to talk about binding. We have to bind the strong man first before we can take away his stuff. We have to have power through understanding who it is we're fighting. But this is how Satan works. He manipulates people and gets them to play his game and then use them to come against children of God. He does that. Oppression, yes. I don't believe if you have the Spirit of God, you can be possessed. But he can oppress you. In fact, he will. I'm sure the devil's attacking me. And just because I'm pastor, he'll attack me even harder if he can. And I think I only stand here because God is so merciful and gracious and protecting me. Sometimes it's protection I don't even know about. Sometimes he pulls back the curtain and I go, wow, I was really close then. That's why, please pray for me. But you know what? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because thou art with me. I'm going to talk about the rod and the staff in my message. Amen. Thou art with me. Amen. But this is how Satan works. He manipulates. Now he can only work through people who give him dominion. Dominion was given to man. Man gave it to Satan. Jesus came, and then we give our dominion to him, so we're in his group. But there are still people who are under the dominion, of Satan. Now, many of these words, principality, come from the Roman Empire. And there's a lot of words of how they organized their empire that Paul used. So the word dominate was the name of a certain type of ruler. We call them dictator. That was a Roman word, right? There was emperor, dictator. There's a whole bunch of different words showing levels of rulership. Next slide. So I said that they have an order and hierarchy. And we are fighting. We have to know who we're fighting. Jesus said that because he said this kind. There was a little boy who was so possessed that the disciples, for many different reasons, their prayer was not effective. And so they asked him, why could not we cast him out? He said, this kind. There are certain different kinds that you have to be aware of. There are spirits, and we'll get into some of the names. There are lying spirits. There are deaf and dumb spirits. There are spirits of lust, spirits of perversion. So we see that they have a hierarchy. And you have to know, there's probably a spirit that's in charge of your block. There's probably a spirit that's in charge of your block. You have to understand that. Daniel gives us a little bit of insight. God pulled back the curtain to let us see that around us, if we could see, there is warfare going on. You have protection. There are angelic guardians right now surrounding you. But you can either help them or hinder them. You know how you help them? By prayer, yes. By giving them authority. You know, how can I say? There are certain people that I'm helping that can't help themselves. So they have given me as pastor a legal document called power of attorney. Because there's things they can't do. But if they didn't give me that, as much as I could help them, I couldn't do nothing. If I went to open an account at the bank and said, I'm sorry, we can't, you know. I said, but he wants me to. Well, sorry, he hasn't given you authority. Do you understand? Although you have spiritual protection, you have to empower them. You have to say, Lord, thy will be done. If you say, I'm going to fight this myself, you're throwing away your bodyguards. That's what you're doing. God has provided, he says, he gives his angels charge over thee to keep thee. But if you take back the dominion and say, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to sort her out. I'm going to give her peace of my mind. I'm going to deal with this situation. What you have to say is, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. While you're coming, you know, it wasn't Joshua that fought the battle of Jericho. You understand that. They didn't fight. He met the commander. Of the Lord's host. And it was he who fought the battle.
I want everybody to understand, I was a victim of dealing with the devil, trying to do everything on my own. It got me 48 months in prison, federal prison. I'm telling you from my own self-experience, do not do anything without God.
Amen.
He has to be in front of your life. Even when I make a mistake and say a curse word, I say, forgive me, Lord, but I still got a little bit of flesh going on. But mainly, predominantly, he's in charge of everything that I do and say.
Amen. 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 That's what God wants us to do. See, his kingdom is organized. He's got it together. Let me read this in Daniel, which gives us right now around us is warfare going on. And to the degree you submit to your guardians, they can protect. You know, the president has a Secret Service detail. Now, he can plunge into the crowd and ignore them and take risks. Or he can let them surround him. They're there to take the bullet for him. Did you know that? God has given us protectors. He maketh his spirits, his angels' spirits and his ministers, a flame of fire. They are there to be ministers to those that are heirs. Heirs of salvation. Heirs of salvation. Do you understand? See, Daniel was praying for 3 weeks. And you can, as I said, either help your guardian or hinder. Daniel 10:13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia. See, there is actual warfare going on between these beings, believe it or not. You say, well, why God doesn't just come and... Well, because he's got an order, and I'll try and explain it. But there's reasons why he can't just do that. Because he has given even his created beings free will. So you have to put your will with his and say, Lord, you take my will, my stubborn will. Direct my path. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So Daniel had been praying for 3 weeks and nothing had happened. And he was wondering, what's going on? But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. You see, he has it organized just as how we have the district organized. We have sections all down to a city. There's a prince over this city. He's got sub-lieutenants over different blocks. There are spiritual entities. There's demonic gangs. We need to be aware of this. We just walk through life and forget what's going on around us. Not that we have to fear, but we have to be aware. But lo, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me for 21 days. There is actual warfare going on. That's why I showed in the picture on Tuesday night that they both had weapons, and the same kind of weapons. In fact, in the book of Jude, we see that Michael, when he came face to face with the devil, what was his weapon? It said, "The Lord rebuke you." That's the weapon, as I've been saying. It's actually the manifested word of God. That's how we fight. The manifested word of God. Sometimes you have to say out into the atmosphere the word of God. You have to just speak it into your situation. You have to declare it, amen, and stand upon that word. So this angelic being that was sent with the word, with the answer to Daniel, was held up. You know, who knows right now your answer might be held up because you're not helping. Because you're not praying, because you're not looking, you're not fast. Daniel was fasting. He was seeking the answer. He says, from the very day you prayed, I was sent. But there was a fight going on. Satan will fight like he's fighting now. He doesn't want this message out. But I'd already sent a backup. I'd sent a backup over to Josh. So I'm sure there's spiritual warfare going on right around us. I'm sure there is. But you know, with us, all he can do is try and deceive and terrify. He can't possess. He can oppress. He can try and beat you down with circumstances. He can try and pull the rug out of you. He can try and use people. And it'll be people that are close to you. It'll be people who you love. Because that's the only way he can hurt you. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. You see, there is spiritual warfare. And it's organized on a nation basis. On a county basis, a city basis. And it's going on. It's real. Very, very real. The reason why we can't see it is because we don't have our true full bodies yet, but it's there. Sometimes you can just sense it. Sometimes I can sense when things are going on. I can sense when the devil's attacking me. I really can. Sometimes I don't even tell my wife because I don't want her to be upset. And I know she does it too. She does it too. She knows when she's being attacked, and she doesn't tell me because she don't want me to be. But if you're sensitive to the Spirit, you know when something's going on. And I know the devil's been attacking me, but he is not going to succeed. And the way to make sure he doesn't is to just submit. Just back out of the situation. Say, Lord, have your way. Lord, I'll let you fight my battles. And he will. if you let him. You have angels assigned to you.
I'm sorry, Pastor.
No, don't be sorry.
Got me all hyped up right now.
Amen.
I was just thinking, you know, the other day I was kind of like in a fear moment because they changed the state person for the daycare. They gave us a different person. And the person that they gave us, the minute that they sent us something in the mail with his name on it, right away his name rang a bell to me because I knew what kind of man he was. He's very prideful. And I really had began to pray the minute I saw his name on the paper. But then he came out to the daycare. And when he came out there, it put some fear inside me. I was like, whoa, Lord. And I just immediately started talking to God about him. And, you know, he actually came with a mission. And once I knew what his mission was, I went into prayer. Because I refused. And so he came back. And so by the time he came back, I had already spoken to the Lord to say that, Lord, when he come back, I'm going to be standing at the front daycare door. I'm going to invite him into the daycare. I'm going to meet him. And so he came back. And when he came back, it's amazing that I was standing at the front door. And I actually spoke to him and told him I was waiting on him. And we had some words, but, you know, it's just amazing because God spoke to me. God said, fear not. He Amen. Told me, God said, I'm going to put this man into your hands. Now, what that means, I don't know, but I'm waiting on it.
Amen. Amen. You see, we don't have to fear because that's one of the words he's going to tell us. He's going to say, well, you know, the company's not doing well. They're laying off people left and right. They're laying off people left and right. They're doing bad. And yet somehow you can prosper. Isaac went to a land of Gerar. There was famine in the land. Yet he reaped 100-fold. He reaped 100-fold. They took away the first well, fine. They took away the second well, fine. You see, because when God is with you, who can be against you? You know the name of the third well, Rehoboth. For God has made room, and we shall be fruitful. They couldn't understand it. How come you're reaping harvest? There's a famine. There's nobody else is doing well, but you're doing well. The company is going down, but you're still there. How is that explained? I'm a child of the King. God has a purpose for my life. He's directing my footsteps. I'm way out of time. Let's go to the next one. I haven't even got halfway through. Satan, you did not prevail. See, there's a kingdom of darkness, and his kingdom is ugly. If we could see Satan, we'd run because just about, not because of fear, he's just ugly. Amen. So now, as I said, he's got his organization. There's principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, demonic hosts. But look what Colossians says. Look. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And you know what? In Revelation, it says that every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. I tell you what, when you have the power of God fully moving in your life, demons will leave you alone. They'll have to be afraid. They begged Jesus, please don't send us to the abyss. Next slide, or next verse there. Ephesians 6:12. As I said, the English interpretation of spiritual wickedness means malice joined with cunning. Not only do they hate you, but they're sneaky. They hate you, and they have ways to try and get you because they know what things your flesh is weak on. They know how to jab you just in the spot, you know? It's malice joined with cunning. That's what spiritual wickedness is. Next slide. So this is what I was trying to get across Tuesday, and I'll try and bring it back Tuesday. Tuesday I'm going to be a little bit profound and deep, but the initial presentation of a being from the spirit world always always manifests in, as a word. The word will either be truth and light or lies and darkness. Let me give you some scriptures to prove that. Genesis 1, 2, and this darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And what did God say? The first thing God said, let there be light. The word manifests as light. Now let's see what the serpent manifests as. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which God had made. And he said, do you get what I'm saying? Any spirit being, their initial manifestation is going to be a word. He said, because that's the only power he has on a son of God is words. He said, hath God said. Eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is believing that. It's doubting God's words. It's crossing over from light into darkness. That's what it is. He shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now let me again give you some more scriptures to prove what I'm saying. In John 1, 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Remember what I said? The initial presentation of a being from the spirit world always manifests as a word, either for good or bad. Verse 14 of John, the Word was then made flesh, the manifestation. But in this case, it was the light, the truth. Satan also manifests initially as a word. Now, if he can't find anybody, he'll stay just as a word. If he can find someone to get his word into them, then they become children of disobedience, and he can use them powerfully. That's what he's trying to do. I'll go more into that on Tuesday. Next slide, we're going to try and run out of time. So the word can proceed to manifest in two ways, possessed either by darkness, Ephesians 2, 2, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit, as I said, that now worketh. Now works in the majority of people. Most of them not even consciously. They just give in to their flesh the words that have been that are whispered to them. Do this, do that. Matthew 6, 23, for if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be what? Full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, Jesus said, how great is that darkness? He was speaking about spiritual control and possession. 2 Corinthians 4:4 explains how it works. In whom the God of this world hath blinded so that they can't see truth. They can't see light. There's some people you can't persuade them by logic or reason because they're blinded. They're blinded, and they're blinded by Satan. He has had taken over control that because of disobedience. The only way those people can is through God's sovereign act of grace. If God sovereignly reaches out to them. Hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine. You understand that this spirit war is about light and darkness, truth and lies. And the word can either be made flesh in you through Jesus Christ, or the word of Satan can be made flesh through coming into someone who is a child of disobedience. Next slide, please. So you can either be possessed by darkness or possessed by the light. The word can manifest as darkness or light. Psalms 119, 105, thy word is a lamp. What am I telling you? A light unto my feet and a light unto my path. I'm giving you these scriptures to back up what I'm trying to show you. When Jesus spake, John 8, 12, again unto them, I am the light of the world. I'm talking about weapons of our warfare. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Acts 26, 18, Paul speaking, he says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. Do you see what I'm saying? The war we're in can be categorized as darkness and light. The word of truth, the word of lies. Romans 13, 12. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Now, you didn't know this, but light is an armor. Look at that verse. And put on the armor of light. Put on the armor of light. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light, that means in truth, in submission, submissive to his word, as he is in the light, we have fellowship. This is when you start to get unity. This is when you start to get success. This is when you start to get victory. This is when you start to get deliverance. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Next slide. So we have to arm ourselves. We've got to arm ourselves. And you all know this scripture very well. Put on the whole armor of God, that he may be able to stand against the cunning, the wiles, the trickiness of the devil. I'm old enough now. I'm not smart enough, but I'm old enough that I've learned a few things. So I can see things coming, and I'll tell my wife, I said, you know, this is what's happening here. I'll tell her, this is what's happening here. This is what this is all about. But I've seen this before. God has opened my eyes to this, so I know where this is going. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. You got to face Satan with truth. You cannot stand with lies. You cannot you know, that's the reason why you have to get in a church where truth is being taught. There is so much deception. There is so much bad teaching. I'm not putting myself up on a pedestal, but I'm giving you the word of God. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That means you have to be doing something. When you talk about feet, that means walking, doesn't it? You don't put on something unless you're going to go out and do something. Our call as disciples is that we should be discipling others. The gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith. You have to just keep your belief. Satan will say, hey, see, you're sick. You're not being healed instantly. I just smile at him. You have to do better than that, Satan. You're going to have to do better than that with me, because God has done too much for me now. For me at this stage, you're going to have to go far, far in excess of that, Satan, for me to start doubting God. In fact, I don't see it happening. I cannot see it happening. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts. He can throw some darts, all right. They are fiery. And if you don't have faith, yeah, they may stick in you. But if you have faith, you can tell the devil, I'm going to give you back a word. I'm going to give you back a word. It is written. Amen. Amen. And take the helmet of salvation. What does a helmet do? Protects your mind. Right? He's after your mind. He's after you. You got to have that helmet of salvation. You got to know. The Bible says to work out your own salvation. You got to have that helmet of salvation to protect your thoughts. To protect your thoughts, because that's what he's after. To depress you, to discourage you, to let you know you're no good. Nobody loves you. You're alone. Hey, if God was loving you, he'd have fixed this problem already. See, that's how he'll attack your mind. He will try and bring you down. Take the helmet of salvation and, of course, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Next slide. We're way over, but I do want to finish this. And then, of course, the weapon of prayer. We're going to go into all of these some more. The weapon of prayer. And when I say prayer, I really mean praise. Paul and Silas are in the jail. They're facing probably execution. But at midnight, they start worshiping, singing songs, praising God. Lord, thank you that we have the ability to be punished for your kingdom, that we're in here because we preached your word. We thank you, God. We love you. We just give you all the greatest praise. And they start singing. They start worshiping God. And they were in agreement. You know what happens? There's an earthquake. Not only were they freed, everyone around them was freed. Not only were they freed, the whole prison was freed. Can you imagine the freak out by the guards? They were about to kill themselves because they knew that their life was forfeit for every prisoner. Paul says, don't do that. Don't do that. And instead of an execution, there was a revival. The warden said, please come, baptize us. Tell us about this Jesus. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical, not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. That means false faith, bad teaching, bad hearing, bad words. Casting them down. Everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Next slide. I know we're way over, but go back one slide. I wanted to read this. If you could stand with me. As I said, the first thing we have to do is to give the power of attorney. You have to sign the document, have it notarized, and give it. Because you are not capable or fit or trained to fight on your own behalf in a spiritual war. God has deputized angelic beings. You have mighty warriors on your behalf. He says so. In Matthew 18, he says, you better not touch one of these little ones. Their angels do always behold the face of my Father. It's better that a millstone was hung around than you touch one of my little ones. See, someone makes you cry, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Someone gives you pain, don't worry about it. What you need to do is in prayer, sign that attorney, a power of attorney, and say, Lord, we have an advocate with the Father, which is Christ the Lord, whoever liveth to make intercession. There is no lawyer like Jesus. There is no secret service like the angels God's got protecting you. And you can't go till he decides it's time for you to go. And I hope when it's time you can say like Paul, I have fought a good fight. See, it's a warfare. I have kept the faith. And there is laid up for me now a crown of righteousness. This is what God has called us to. We're living in perilous times. We're right at the cusp. I'm trying to close, and I know I went way over, but I wanted you, despite what Satan wanted to hinder this lesson, to let you know that our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God. First step, give power of attorney. Don't you try fighting this battle. Joshua in Joshua 5 came across the head honcho, the general. He saw this mighty being and he said, are you on our side or for the others? He says, you don't know who you're talking to. I'm the commander. See, your angel may be held up, but there's another one that Satan can't fight. He just happens to have my name, not speaking about me. But he said, lo, the chief prince Michael came and deliverance came. He said, he's the one that stands up for your people, Israel. We need to give God back the power of attorney so that he can re. The spiritual warfare is going on. And the reason why we don't have success is because we have not yielded, submitted, and stopped trying to fight and say, Lord, you do it. Nevertheless, not my will. Whatever you want, God, with my life, I yield it to you. If it's to be a doorkeeper, if it's to clean this church, if it's to pick up weeds, if it's to pick up trash, if I can do that to your glory, Lord, if it's to drive the bus. You know, many of the things in our flesh we don't want to do. But if it's for God's kingdom, there is a reward, there is a blessing. I'm trying to stop. Amen. Amen. I want you to know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. If you could bow your heads with me, Father, we thank you for your blessing today. We thank you, Lord, that you have fought a war for us. Lord, that you stand ready, able, and willing to take charge right now because you are the commander, hallelujah, of the angelic host. Lord, we ask you right now, Father, to continue in this service. Let your Holy Spirit move.